right? So halfway through on 13 miles, I was supposed to meet the wife and the kids and everything. They had like a drink for me and a chocolate bar and like energy sweets and things, right? But I couldn't get to them because they was over the other side of the road and they couldn't get over. So I was absolutely gutted because the key thing that they did have, which I was going to swap, was my iPod for a little radio. Yeah, you know, like those little radios yes. that you take to football matches and that. I bought one especially, like a real little one, which I could run with so I could listen to the game because I had to listen to, obviously, the game, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't get to it. So then I spent I was cursing it, right? So I was running the next couple of miles, absolutely gutted. And I thought, well, what about my phone, right? You never go through your app. Some people do, but I never go through the apps on my phone. You know, it's this Samsung thing. So I'm looking through it. And I see radio, right? Oh, FM radio. Well, that's rubbish because I know it's on Talk Sport. So now I look through a little bit further. And then, yes, okay, London radio, BBC London, right? Has it got the game? They're talking about the marathon tour. And now we go over to White Hart Lane for Spurs v Man City. So I'm like, yeah, brilliant, right? So I listen to the next, right, hour and a half, okay? Get midway through the second half. Then just as I'm getting to the end of the race, absolutely shattered, we're still 1-0 down, and I am like on my last breath. As I cross the finishing line, I raise my hands like, oh, I've finished, I can't believe it. And then all of a sudden, as I raise my hands, say, yes, I finished the race, and Bale crosses to Dempsey and Dempsey scores. I'm like, yeah, right. So just as I cross the finishing line, Dempsey scored the goal, right?
Fantastic.
Then as I go and get my bag get my bag and stuff, and you get a bag of goodies and stuff, and in the bag is like an apple, right? Now, apple's an apple, isn't it? But let me tell you, after running 26 miles, okay, you bite into an apple, and it's like the most beautiful taste ever. As I bite into it, right, Defoe, I hear in my ear, and Defoe make a brilliant goal. So I'm like, bite this apple and go, yeah, again. Really, really weird. And then as I walk up to the train station, it was free. But, oh, my God, talk about emotions, right? Finish the marathon, in tears about that. All these people all around, all cheering and everything, especially with the Boston thing going on as well, because yeah. that's at the back of everybody's mind. Then we're 1-0 down. We're going nowhere fast. And then we score those three goals. What a day. What a day.
Brilliant. Come on, you Spurs!
Hi, this is Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
I'm a shouty man, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast. Okay?
Hi, I'm Wyatt Wendells from Planet Rock Radio, and this is the Hotspur Podcast.
Hi, this is Daniel Wynn. Welcome to the Hotspur Podcast. I'm the Spurs commentator for Spurs TV and also trustee of the Tottenham Tribute Trust.
Hi, I'm the Spurs Pod, and here's a quick message from me to you. Click on iTunes, subscribe to the Hotspurs Podcast, and then just leave a nice review. You're listening to the Hotspurs Podcast.
Okay, yeah, welcome to the Hotspurs Podcast and all that. Yeah, here we go. Colin's in Northern Ireland, I'm in Essex, as everybody knows. How you doing, Colin?
Yeah, doing good, Nev.
Good. So, what have we been up to?
Nothing much. I think you just ran the marathon. Again, a big shout out, I'm sure, Steve, to everybody at Donata to you, and well done, mate, for completing it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, just have a bit more enthusiasm, actually. The normally enthusiastic start. Yeah, welcome to the Hotspurs Podcast. Ah, brilliant. What a weekend. I mean, we're back. We are back. Last week's show was called We're Back. This will have to be called We're Back Again. We're, I don't know.
Back again, yeah. Stuff. No. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And so, you know, we'll go straight into the Man City game. Obviously, you were running the marathon, so you weren't at the game, but I'm sure you've seen the highlights and so on about it. I sat in my house as usual and got ready for it. Had a really good feeling about the game, actually. Really, really up for it. Gareth Bale back in the team. Sort of knew, like, he's obviously not 100% fit, but fair play to the guy. He wants to come in. He wants to do a job for us, but we start off those first 2, 3, 4 minutes. I thought we looked really sharp, we looked dangerous, and all of a sudden Man City went up the pitch and scored a very, very good goal. We should have probably dealt with it down in the corner, but a great goal. And then I just went, oh no, this is going to be one of these long days. Same as last year. But it was difficult, Steve. And say, you know, we'll go through the first half, first sort of 60, 70 minutes. I just couldn't see where a goal was going to come. You know, we were working away. Bale wasn't in the game at all. Dempsey, Sigerson, nothing much happening. Adebayor, you know, running about a bit. But we just looked like we had nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I just couldn't see where anything was going to come from. I was just really waiting for City maybe to score the next goal.
Yeah. Well, they didn't. Was that... Were we lucky? Were we defending well? I mean, or was it just a game of football? Was there anything to do with that? Or
there wasn't really.
Just the way it goes. I mean, how many games have we played where we score early and then we're dominating and we pass it around and we're looking tasty and, you know, the opposition don't look like scoring at all and then all of a sudden they go up the other end and score? Is it every game we play that's like that at the moment? You know,
yeah,
it's just the reversal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very true. You know, there was a couple of good, you know, Lloris made a good save from Seco. You know, we just tried to slip it past. I think Nasri had another great chance. We'd done a great move and just put it wide of the post. So there was a couple of dangerous occasions, but I never once felt really under any major pressure. I think it sort of told at that stage to me that Man City knew, look, the league's over. You know, we're here to try and obviously pick up 3 points, play well, but there didn't seem to be that massive urgency about them. And, you know, I don't think it was until later on, whenever Spurs really get into top gear, that they all of a sudden went, hold on a minute here, we better try. But by that stage, Spurs were so dominant that they just couldn't get back into the game. But it really was for that, you know, you've got to say for the first 60, 70 minutes, really Man City dominated the game. And we just never looked like doing anything, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, this is a strange thing to say, but how about this? Are we more enjoyable to watch as a team? Do we play better football when we're behind? Because I've noticed this season, when we go 1-0 up or 2-0 up, it's backs to the wall stuff, hoofing it clear. We don't play any football and we just let the other team come on to us. Whereas when we're a bit behind, like against Everton and like against Man City, you know, we play out from the back, we try different things, we, you know, get players out wide, particularly in the second half, you know, maybe not the first half, but, you know, we create chances. And in a way, we're a better side to watch when we're behind. Whereas when we're ahead, we shut up shop and we just go, come on then, what you got? And you know, you think we're going to try and break on the attack, but of course we haven't quite mastered that art that Man United, you know, do so blimmin' well. It's just weird. I mean, I was listening to it on the radio when we were 1-0 down, as I say, you know, running the whole thing. But I just thought, you know, I didn't feel nervous. I didn't feel, you know, on the edge of my seat like I normally would feel, metaphorically, of course. Whereas if we won it up, you know, oh, and here come Man City again, and here they go again, and Dawson, another great tackle, and you know, that's when you're edgy, when you're 1-0 up against these sides. But you know, if you're 1-0 down, you can sort of go, you know, well, I think we're going to come out here, and, you know.
It's funny you say that, because I actually feel like that as well. I was very relaxed, actually, even though I was annoyed that we were losing and really was... But I am more relaxed if we're behind and we're trying to get that goal.
We just play better football, don't we, when we're going trying to score?
We definitely do. And, you know, when we are, as you say, if we're 1-0 or it's 2-1 to Spurs and 10 minutes to go, you're on edge. And I can't sit and watch it sometimes. I've got to walk out into another room. And, you know, if the other team gets a corner, I fly out of the room. And
by the way, if you want an example of if you go 2-0 up against a great side, and keep going, that Bayern Munich performance tonight. Whoa.
Unbelievable.
Did they keep going or what?
Yeah, they did. But I noticed Anthony Ferraro put a great post on our Facebook. Where was that Bayern Munich last year?
Yeah.
And as soon as I seen it and they went to it, I just went...
Well, to be honest, they were there, but they should have won about 4-0. But, of course, a little bit of luck. And
a little bit of
luck went on Sunday, didn't it?
Oh, yes. We'll get into that later. But look, we'll jump on to the 71st minute, and I said in the last show I'm not going to talk about him much, and I'm not, but Mr. Adi Bayor was pulled off. He really, in my eyes, he didn't do anything again, Steve. And I thought Gary Neville on Sky was excellent, and yeah. I really enjoyed his commentary. He made a lot of really good points, and I'm going to talk about Dempsey tonight as well.
Gary Neville on Monday night, you mean?
Yeah, Monday night, but he also during the game. He commentated on the game live.
Yeah.
And, you know, he mentioned so many times that Spurs were just missing a striker. And he mentioned things about Dempsey, which I'll chat about as we get on to him. But he made a lot of good points. But as soon as he went off, I actually put on Facebook at halftime, the game's crying out for Defoe and Tom Huddleston. And I got a great shout out from Emerson Webster, said that I should be the manager.
So well, take a lot of credit. Didn't we say last week that maybe Dembele and Huddleston would be a really good partnership in the middle?
Yeah, we called it on the show, but it was crying out. And Steve, to be honest with you, as soon as those guys come on, what a difference. Like, Lewis Hopi, we've been sort of doubting him there lately, but he came on and he gave 150% and he chased everybody. He harried people down. But Huddleston come on, and all of a sudden, we started passing the ball. And that was the difference. And, you know, to be fair to Scotty Parker, I love the guy. Again, he's another 100-150%er. Yeah. But he seems to run in a direction and then he will turn back. You know, he turns attack nearly in the defence again.
Well, he needs to play, you know, 2 out of 3. You know, he's at that age now where he's a little bit older. You know, he's so passionate and he's so up and down the pitch. I'm sure that he runs over the pitch more than anybody else on the pitch. So he needs somebody else, you know, and if we're in a full strength side, we know that, you know, Sandro plays the league game, you know, Sandro play, and Parker would play the Carling Cup game or the FA Cup game. Sandro would play the league game, you know, and against the lesser sides, Parker could play against those. But, you know, Sandro is the first choice defensive midfielder, you know, and Parker comes in for the other ones, but, you know, oh, Sandro gets a knock, then Parker comes. You know, but that's how it should have been all through the season. But unfortunately, we you know, that wasn't the way it panned out because Sandro, Parker was injured for the first half. Sandro's in for the second half. You know, next season, you know, if you know, we get onto this obviously later on. I mean, maybe it's time for Parker just to go and get somebody else in who bit fresher legs. But we'll see how Sandro is. But, you know, the two of them were brilliant, you know, fantastic, you know, to have in your squad. First choice Sandro, second choice Parker, fantastic. So playing him every single game, of course it's going to take it out of him because he just runs and runs and runs and runs. And I'm a massive fan of his, without a doubt. But how did he pass the ball on Sunday?
I thought he had a really good game. Don't get me wrong, but Parker does what Parker does. You know, he gets the ball, and I think if you set Parker and he's facing towards the corner flag, he will go straight to that corner flag and then he'll do one of his 180 or 360 turns and the ball will be passed back. But look, what I love about him, he just gives you that presence. And you know,
he's got a lot of criticism for those turns and but sometimes, or a lot of the time, I think when he turns he actually gets himself out of trouble quite a lot, doesn't he?
I think he's fantastic at them. I wouldn't criticise him for them, but I think on Sunday the difference showed. And you know, Huddleston come on, and he's been great the last couple of games that he's come on as well, but he just all of a sudden he got the ball. And I think Defoe as well, you know, Gary Neville mentioned that Defoe was then running into the channels in that danger area, Steve, which we have chatted about with Adi Bayor, you know, 18 yard box, you know, running from 25 yards out, making a run towards the box, not being out on the left or out in the right wing. And all of a sudden Huddleston was able to put it through or give it to Hopi. And Hopi was able to slip it through. And you know, Bale, AVB, to be fair to him, moved Bale out to the right wing. You know, he gave us a bit of width. Because in the first half and the first 70 minutes, everything was through the middle. We had no width. And we'll give AVB the credit. He changed it. And it was brilliant. And, you know, we'll go on to the first goal. As you say, you were just about to go over that line at the end of the marathon. And what Gareth Bale, honestly, in my eyes, had done nothing up to then. But as people have said, and Gary Neville said it last night, what a ball. And that is the difference between a world-class player that can be, it's like Messi. You can watch Barcelona do nothing and all of a sudden, bang.
Yeah.
He'll change a game for you. And what a pass. And to be fair to Mr. Dempsey, he was there at the back post where he's dangerous and scored a great goal and all of a sudden we were back in it.
Well, we've got players in our side that that want to win things. And I was just thinking, as I was listening, do these players just want to go through the motions and finish fifth or sixth this season, or, you know, possibly fourth? You know, looking at this Man City side, they're playing, you know, there's 20 minutes to go. Or do they want to go, hey, you know, like Dempsey, I have left Fulham where I was the star to come to do things with my career, you know, and this is the season to do it. Because make no mistake, if Dempsey doesn't do it this season for us, he'll be out the door. You know, he's on the bench next season. We're looking for another, you know, supporting striker. We won't give Dempsey another year, will we, to see what he can do? You know, this is his year, and he's got vital goals, and he got that vital one as well. So that just, yeah. You know, and we're like, and he got the goals in Basel. Unfortunately, we didn't get a result there, but, you know, we know he can pop up with a goal. So, you know, for me, you know, that goal is so vital for him to get. And Huddleston as well, I've said it a couple of years ago that, you know, he's still a young guy and I criticised him so much. But at the end of it, I always said, is it because he's young? You know, he doesn't realise that he's this 6 foot, you know, something fella with all the skill, all the talent in the world. Has the penny not dropped that he can dominate games? And now I think he's coming off the bench and he's going, give me the ball. I want the ball. I'm going to do what I'm brilliant at, which is passing the bloody thing, you know, and creating chances. And, you know, this is my chance. What is he now? Mid-20s?
Yeah, I think he's 26, 27. Right,
so here he is. This is the peak of his career. And he's got two choices. He can either do it at Tottenham, right, who are a top four, top five, top three side, right? Or, like there's mentioned in the paper today about I might have to go elsewhere, you know, you're only going to go to Fulham. You're only going to go to Newcastle. You will only go to a mid-table club because Fergie won't buy him at the moment, you know. You'll only ever go to a mid-table club or a club that's, you know, on the up possibly from mid-table going up. So, in my opinion, Huddleston, and you can do it, get yourself in that side at Spurs and show what you can do and take the ball by its horns and go for it. I'd like nothing more than that. You know, and he's done it in the last few games. Brilliant.
Yeah, he's done it the last few games and he's got another five games to hopefully keep it up. But, you know, we just touched on him there and then we'll talk about the last two goals to round off the game. But I wanted to give, I have a note down here to give Dempsey a big shout out on the show. Because really, Steve, we've never really chatted about the guy. And to be fair, I thought about it today, thinking about what we're going to chat about on the show. And this guy, yes, he has frustrated the life out of me. Again, sorry, I keep harping on about Gary Neville. Gary Neville mentioned that he said, I've played against this guy numerous times when he was at Fulham. And he said, he is most dangerous coming off the left. And he will arrive in at that back post and he will score goals.
That's what he wants to do, doesn't he? You've seen him have a shot. And you've seen him go ski whiff and what have you. But he wants to do it. And why would he, you know, put a transfer request in, what was it now, 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Put a transfer request in.
Yeah.
You know, to move from Fulham where he's the superstar. He wants to do something.
He wants to do it. And, you know, he got his chance, and I loved what Neville said about that there because he hasn't really played in that position. But, you know, let's just quickly, I probably won't get all his goals. Man United away, he scored the third goal. He was in the right place at the right time. He seems to come in from nowhere and scores these ghost goals, you know, like knockdowns, or he's there for the ricochet. Mm-hmm. So there, he scored the equaliser against Man United at White Hart Lane. He came in off that left-hand side and finished a great goal. He scored two goals out in Basel. You know, he scored the equalising goal there on Sunday against Man City. I know there's been other great goals from him as well. You know, this guy probably deserves a lot of credit, only for, you know, we've really lacked having a goal scorer this year. And to be fair to him, he has come in. I think we all thought Sigurdsson was probably going to be the man that, you know, after the season he had with Swansea, he'd be the guy to score the goals. But to be fair, you know, Dempsey's been the man, and it's been superb. So look, I just wanted to give him a big shout out. He has definitely frustrated me, but the guy is dangerous and he can still score some important goals for us.
Good stuff. Have you got some Facebook comments there?
Yeah, there is. I just want to quickly round off, sorry, Steve, just on the Man City game, the two other goals, you know, yeah. Jermaine Defoe, how good was it to see that guy back? And, you know, people slagged off Vincent Kompany for letting him come in. And, you know, we all knew watching what Defoe wanted to do, but look, he'd done it that quick. And that
you know why, though? Because Adebayor had run him ragged for 60 minutes.
Oh, yeah, he was so shattered. But I love that angle behind the goal. Did you see it from the corner of the TV?
Do you know the best thing about it was Joe Hart's dive?
Yes. Brilliant.
Wasn't it? Like an old-fashioned, you know, Neville Southall style.
Yes.
Real, you know, the cat type dive. Brilliant.
Yes. It was superb. And it went in like an absolute rocket. And then again, you know, Tom Huddleston, who we've chatted about, what a ball through to Gareth Bale for the
third goal. Did you see his celebration? If you when Bale knocked it over and he started running to the corner, I watched Huddleston. He celebrated like he'd scored. I love that.
Brilliant.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we want to see. And, you know, Gareth Bale, great pass to Dempsey for the goal. Great run. Like his first touch with his right foot to bring it in. The next touch took him away. And the third, you know, that chippo. And I think the difference now, whenever we watch Bale, you actually expect him to score. You know, where before you're sort of going, oh, please, please. You sort of nearly, when he'd done it, you were sort of not really that surprised.
Do you know the only thing I was disappointed about the Man City game was that we won it fair and square? Because I listen to all the Arsenal podcasts, so you don't have to. And all they talk about on their podcast, it's not about how that goal or that great pass or that. It's all about whether or not they deserved that penalty or whether or not that goal was offside or whether or not that own goal and whether the referee should have seen that and this sending off after 10 minutes. I mean, how many times in a season are Arsenal going to get an opposition player sent off after 10 minutes? It's just unbelievable, isn't it? But that's what they're all talking about, and we're talking about proper football matches, no luck and all this sort of stuff. So anyway, good stuff. Right, mate. Facebook.
Okay. Loads of people have been on Facebook this week, so we don't have time. But there was three guys. Steve brought up the thing last week about would you prefer to be like a cup side? You know, maybe finishing like seventh or sixth every year in the league. But, you know, most years that we'll win an FA Cup or win a League Cup or win the Europa Cup. So, you know, the three really good comments. There's guy, Daniel Watts, and he put, my view on winning a cup over finishing top four. How about only top two qualify for the Champions League and the other two places go to League Cup winners and FA Cup winners? Third, fourth and fifth in the league get Europa League. After all, it's always been about the glory.
Well, so, I like that comment. The only trouble is it won't happen. You know, I agree 100%. What my thing was, again, you know, my thing won't happen either. But, you know, just to make an emphasis on the cup, I'd love a manager just to say, we want to win a cup this year. You know, anyway, carry on.
Then we had Ryan Shaw. I'd also put a comment on. Ryan's a great contributor to the Facebook page, by the way, so thanks, Ryan, for all your comments. He's put, good to hear the podcast back on. Relating to what you said about the Cups next season, with a few added players, mainly a striker and the return of Kabul, Sandro and an experienced Townsend, do you not think we could push for the league, never mind top four? I know some fans might say it's delusional, but I genuinely think we'd have a chance. Good luck for this Sunday in the marathon. Come on, you Spurs.
Brilliant.
I agree. I think you'd reply to him, you know, with our best starting 11 and an in-form Adebayor Defoe, we're as good as any other team in the league. You know, this was your reply to him, you know. And, you know, I agree with him. I don't think you're being delusional, Ryan. I honestly think, and I've said it in other shows, that we're possibly only three players away. You know, you watch Man United and Man City, we're not that far behind them.
We're not even three players away. We're three players who just need to get their form back. We need Benny's form back. Because if you look at it, you go left back, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Right back. So we need Carl Walker from last season. We need Benny from, you know, the two or three great seasons he's had. And we need Adebayor from last season.
Yeah.
We've got the midfield. We've got the backup. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I thought about as well, Steve? What we were missing and the difference again, which comes back to a striker in our team. When I was listening to the radio today or another podcast, they talked about the goal difference. You know, Arsenal are plus 31. I think Chelsea are plus 30, and we're something like plus 15 or plus 16. Now, there's a good difference of 12, 13 goals.
Yeah.
Now, you imagine if we had the extra 12 or 13 goals on our side, probably be second.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? Because for the last, 4 years, we've been like 10 points behind Arsenal, 5 points behind Arsenal, 1 point behind Arsenal. And you know what's going to happen this year?
Difference.
We're going to be equal, and we're going to lose out on goal difference. And we'll still be going, see, we're catching you up. And they'll go, yeah, still finished fifth though, didn't you? And we're like,
yeah.
But goal difference. So they'll be like, here's a tissue. Oh, God, no,
I think it proves if we had had that top-class striker or the Adebayor from last year, we'd probably be up comfortably in third or even second place.
By the way, how lucky are Arsenal losing Giroud for the last 4 games?
I know. I think that could be a good thing. I think it could be good. One final just readout. Patrick Morris, he put, I loved what you said on the podcast about the cups. I remember being a kid in the 80s and people got really excited about cup games. And my favourite memories as a Spurs fan are the cup finals. Now it's all about finishing fourth. I'd like European football to go back to how it used to be. Straight knockout. Forget the Europa League and Champions League. Just make it into European Cup for the league winners only and the UEFA Cup for a couple of other teams. Maybe then people would care more about the domestic cups and there wouldn't be such a large financial gap between the top Premiership sides and the rest. It might even make the Premiership more even and competitive. I think that's a brilliant post.
Yeah.
Absolute brilliant post by Patrick. And he's exactly right because, you know, that's where, you know, if you look at the scum and Chelsea and Liverpool, Man United, Man City now, you know, they've been in this competition for 15, 20 years in a row. The money that they've generated has left a massive gap, you know, between the rest of us. And, you know, it is very unfair. And he makes a great point. You know, that's the way it's the way I think it should be.
Well, then look again at how well AVB has done. You know, the fact is he's coming to a club who are, well, we finished fourth, but, you know, due to the soppy rule that, you know, about the Champions League, Chelsea get into the Champions League. So you say to AVB, right, go into this club and, you know, do what you can do, but we want to finish fourth, you know, above, you know, we want to be in there with Man United, who are the world's biggest club, Man City, who have got the most money, Chelsea, who have got millions of pounds, who have just spent loads of money, and Arsenal, who have got the 60,000 stadium, and we want you to finish above one of those, please. And AVB's come in, and we're sitting, what, are we fifth in the league, a point behind Chelsea, 2 points behind Arsenal with four or five games left. I mean, it's just brilliant. We said at the start of the season, you know, if the guy finishes fifth, you know, that's a really good first season. You know, that would be great. You know, even if he finished seventh or eighth for a first season. And by the way, Modric and Van der Vaart aren't going to be in your side. You know? Yeah. A certain chap called Ledley King as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're not going to have Ledley King, you're not going to have Van der Vaart, you're not going to have Modric, but we still want you to finish in the top four. Oh, and by the way, Chelsea have just bought Hazard and Oscar. Okay, yeah. So he's done absolutely great. You know, and that's not taken away from him. Before we go any further, let's have a poem.
I felt this strange pain all over. I think that I've just broke my heart. Then, in the 74th minute, my inner beings and emotions would start. Bale, anonymous throughout the game, plays this glorious ball in the space. On the end of the cross is Clint Dempsey. Beginning of a smile hits my face. The feeling of hope comes upon me, but that feeling soon changes to relief. As the foe smashes into the corner, all of a sudden I change to belief. Huddleston, the underachiever, picks a lock with a pass so sublime. Bale is in, and it's 3-1. I can't hold in this overwhelming feeling of mine. Yes, I can't believe it. The season is suddenly back on. But now we must really beat Wigan and be right back in the hunt where we belong. So in all, it's a game about numbers. 74, 78, 81. This isn't the numbers from bingo. It's the numbers that the game was won. So as the sun shone over White Hart Lane and the supporters all played a huge part, there was no evidence of that expensive blue moon. Just a total eclipse of Joe Hart. Come on, you Spurs.
What do you think of that?
Oh, brilliant. Total eclipse of Joe Hart. I love it. I love it, Spurs poet. I don't know how he does it. We'll say it every week. And funny, he sums up the game brilliantly. And also, just on a Facebook, we'll give a shout out to Dan Jones, one of our admins. Dan done a brilliant bit on Facebook all about the game. And it was great. It's far too long, Dan, for me to read out. And we've had loads of likes and comments to it. So brilliant. But I love the Spurs poet's work. Loving it.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love it too. We've got some fantasy football to catch up with, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's been about 2 or 3 weeks, guys. And again, I'll just let everybody know out there, this is the top 10 of people who don't have any scum players who went through it properly tonight. Couldn't believe it. There's 6 people in the top 10, all have got Arsenal. And here, not even one, Steve. 2 and 3 in their team.
My goodness.
Absolutely got it.
Who's got 3 in their team? Name and shame the person with 3 in their team.
There's a boy, he lives away out in some foreign land. Now, it's not Jason McGovern, but Adam Currier. Now, Adam, I know you've put on.
And he is Spurs through and through.
Yes, Adam, we're so disappointed. I know you want to win your works fantasy league table, and I hear you said, here, we don't care about your work. We're all Spurs fans. No scum players, mate.
There's no way Jason McGovern's got a
no chance. No chance. So this is now the proper top 10. So it's James Wallace, Davy Elder, the Spurs poet, jumps into second. Jonathan Maloney, myself, Colin McKay in fourth. Mark Heritage, Terry Tyner, Kurt Fotek, Martin McDonagh, and Anthony Antel. And John Perez jumps into 10th. Steve, you've dropped away down to 54th place. You're now, I have to go into the other page to see where you are. So, like, I'm totally embarrassed by it. I'm soon going to be reading you out in the bottom 6 here.
Next season, I'll make some subs and I'll play it properly next season.
Bottom of the league is Martin Oak, then Lee Townsend, Richard Thompson, Jackie Hunter, Thomas Wedge, and Dean Morrow. Most points this week was James Wallace, who's actually top of the league. He had 98 points, so obviously he must have had Mr. RVP in his team, who hopefully will score a few goals this Sunday coming. So,
well,
guys,
you better do, Man United. If any Man United fans are listening, of which there, of course, won't be, but, well, we are all kind of a second side because we don't want the other lot to win. You know, if you go to the Emirates and you bend over and, you know, let Arsenal, you know, do the dirty on you, I will be absolutely, you know, livid with you. And I know lots of Man United fans, as most of us do. You better not do that, Man United. I'll be blimmin' well annoyed about that.
I spoke to the Spurs poet the other day about this, and United have a massive say in this top four.
Yeah.
They've got their next 2 games are Arsenal away, Chelsea at home. I think the only good thing for us is United have nothing else. They're not still in the Champions League and they're not in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
There's no need for Fergie to be resting players.
And they got a full strength squad. And what a goal by RVP.
Oh, it was quality. God. Here, and also if they win their 4 games, they set a new record of the most points, beating Chelsea. So, you know, there's a lot of incentives. You know You know, Fergie's not going to lie down.
No.
And here, as Dan Jones has been putting up, how good is it going to be to see Robin Van Persie coming out at the Emirates on Sunday with the Guard of Honour?
Yeah.
And they've all got to clap him and say, "Can we have a look at your medal, please, Robin?" this we're such a massive club. We've spent millions. We've got a massive stadium. You know, like they're twice the size of Spurs Stadium. Show us your medal, Robin, because we might leave ourselves to try and win one of those.
Well, it's got to happen sometime, surely. When are they going to splash the cash? I don't know when, but they better get on with it because it's strange, they keep winning these games though. They do keep winning these games, and you watch every week the Norwich game, the Fulham game where someone gets sent off after 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you just think, my goodness, that chant, "Lucky, lucky Arsenal," it is so, I just love it. I would love it if midway through next season, there's this thing going round about "Lucky, lucky Tottenham." I would absolutely love it. Wouldn't it be fantastic? Lucky, lucky Tottenham. And we're sitting there going, "Oh, we were so lucky getting that 1-0 there." Anyway, we're second in the league, another lucky 1-0. Brilliant. Someone got sent off after 12 minutes. Anyway, mate, right. So we've got Wigan at the weekend. How's that going to go then?
It's going to be a tough one. Obviously Wigan are fighting for their lives down there, but I'm confident. Man City was a massive win for us, and I think there's going to be a lot of confidence about the team. Gareth Bale's going to have another week to be even fitter. There's talk that Lennon could possibly be back. Jermaine Defoe's got another week as well. So, I'm confident. I know they're fighting for their lives, but if we played our capabilities, there's no reason we can't go down there and get 3 points.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I know, a few games back, we'd lost the game and, we all thought that we was going to win the next one. And I said, we got to have a blip at some point. And we did. We had a little blip and everyone thought it was all over and all the commentators were saying, "Oh, that's it. That's the end of it. It's Spurs, the wheels have come off." But hello. We're back in it. We're back on the road again. And we got Wigan away, who are in the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
It looks as if QPR and Reading have gone. So, Wigan, although they are fighting for their lives, they're up against Aston Villa, who look very, very poor, don't they?
Yeah.
How are they going to be? Very unpredictable, but you've got to say that, we have got the players coming back and we've got choices to make. Do we play Adebayor up front with Defoe? Do we play Defoe on his own? Do we stick with the Adebayor for 60 minutes and then Defoe comes off the bench? It's all interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think that, it will be, another fascinating game. And I just would love us to get 3 points, and then I'd love to Man United to do one on Arsenal, so that
definitely
we're a point ahead of them. We'd have a game in hand, which we can then lose to Chelsea, and it wouldn't matter, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, look, it's a massive couple of weeks. What's happening here is if we can go away to Wigan and get 3 points, then what's happening next, as you say, we're a point ahead of Arsenal and they're going into the Man United game. Fingers crossed United do the business there. The following, Chelsea then have got two European games and Man United to play. So three big games for them in a week. Then we play Southampton, which is at White Hart Lane. I know Southampton have been playing well, but another fantastic opportunity. So, come then, if the results go hopefully our way, there's a great chance. And then we've got the game in hand against Chelsea. So we could be sitting, going into that Chelsea game with, even, I hate to say it, even if we do lose, that it's not the end of the world for us. And I believe, we've got, we've got a big, big chance. But, we've just got to hope that we'll get a bit of luck. At the end of the day, we have got to try and win our games and stuff with any. If we win our five games, we're in the Champions League. End off.
On the other hand, We could lose to Wigan. Arsenal could beat Man United. And then it's on again.
It's all doom and gloom.
And then it'll be something like, you know, we have to win our last three or whatever. So,
funny, just quickly, I spoke to a guy yesterday who's a Man United fan, and he turned around and his words to me, he says, "Flip, it must be really exciting for you at the minute." And I went, "Oh, no way." I said, "It's nerve-wracking. It's how you meant it." And he went, "Look," he says, "we've won the league already." He says, "Yes, that's great. But," he says, "I wish I had still something to of interest and to look forward to." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, I'm telling you what, the life of a Spurs fan is never dull. Never dull."
We'll lose to Wigan. Arsenal will beat Man United. Everyone will say it's all over. And then something will happen. Because there's still games to go.
There's still games. And I do believe Arsenal will drop points. You know, actually, their next game...
You look at that strange fixture, right? QPR versus Arsenal. Is it the Emirates or is it a QPR?
It's a QPR.
Right.
QPR.
That is a very strange game because you've got a lot of factions there. Say QPR have gone, right? They've got 11 to 15 players, right, in that QPR squad of quality players, all who won't want to play in the Championship, right? Arsenal will go there thinking it's QPR. Here we go, lovely, 3 points. And you've got Harry Redknapp against Arsene Wenger. You know, there's so many little factions there. You know, Samba is going to be up for that, going, "Well, I ain't playing in the Championship, so watch this." Boom, kick, tackle, you know, playing for a contract somewhere else. Same as Tarat, same as the strikers, same as those, you know, Remy, you know, I ain't going down in Championship. Watch this. So, anyway, anything could happen. All right,
you're
mate.
Right. Okay, mate. Well, look, let's just keep the fingers crossed. Say 3 points on Saturday's a must. And then hopefully RVP can do the business on Sunday for us. But, you know, it's going to be a roller coaster, guys. But, you know, let's all just try and enjoy it. Try and
see what happens. You know what, though? We're saying, you know, and the odds are that we'll beat Wigan and they'll lose to Man United. But I'll tell you this, that won't happen. We shall see. Come on, you Spurs.